You touch my heart, you change my soul. I know I need you so, Papa God. Oh, Papa God, you saved me from my old life. You forgave me, you have cleansed and made me whole. You touch my heart, you change my soul. I know I need you so, Papa God.
Amen.
We have come into his house to magnify his name and worship him. Oh, we have come into his house to magnify his name and worship him. We have come into his house, his name. Magnify his name and worship him. We have come into his house to magnify his name and worship him. We have come into his house to magnify his name and worship Christ. Just concentrate on him and worship him. Just forget about yourself. Let's concentrate on him and worship him. Forget about yourself. Just concentrate on him. Let's worship Christ our Lord. Let's worship Him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's stand. Oh, let us lift up holy hands. Let's magnify His name and worship Him. Christ our Lord, we'll worship Him, Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, let us lift up holy hands to magnify His name and worship. greater is he that is in me. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, Satan's lie, a roaring lie, seeming to and fro. He's seeking whom he may devour. The Bible
together. Oh, greater is he that is in me. Is that how you feel? Oh, I know greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Amen. God bless you this morning. I'm thankful for that assurance.
Amen.
Amen. It's not that we're greater, it's that he's greater. Amen. We've got a thank you card I want to share this morning. It says, thank you so much for the beautiful flowers, cards, thoughts, and prayers during the passing of my dad. It really means a lot to us. God bless you, the Shavari, Nicholson, and Carter families. So we certainly appreciate that. And also wanted to mention Brother Layton's granddaughter, Megan. She's home and doing better. So praise the Lord for that. And we've got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord. We wanted to announce also we will be having communion and foot washing this evening, our prayer meeting service. tonight at 6:30. And then, Lord willing, next week, so next Sunday morning, a week from today, we'll be having our annual elections here at the church. And then also wanted to just wish you all a very happy new year and thank you for the Christmas gifts and things that the church and the different families gave us last week. We certainly appreciate that. We got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord. Sister Debbie Pierce asked that we remember Brother Lee. He's feeling sick today. And then my Aunt Wanda and my cousin Richie, they're both not feeling well. Brother Isaac Weber's wife and children not feeling well. And little Jacob Condor, he's not feeling well today. Sister Stephanie Duvall, also not feeling well. So how many has unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring, Lord, with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. I'm just asking Brother Layton if he'd come this morning and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests.
Let us bow our heads. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, realizing we're starting off a new year, Father, we're so grateful for the year that we had, and I was noticing how that the world looks back at the previous year and looks back, and they want to talk about all the bad things that happened and the terrorist attacks and the stars and the famous people that died and so forth. And that's all right for them, Lord Jesus. We like to look back and see the blessings that you gave us and how good you were to us and the healings and the miracles and all the other things that you provided for us. But yet, even though we may do that, Lord, we want to look forward also to what the promises of God are for us, your children. But we don't want to look so far out forward that we forget what you're doing right now. Lord, we want to thank you for all that you have done. And we want to thank you for that which you're going to do. But Lord, we thank you for right now this morning. We're here gathered together with those of like faith, looking forward this morning for a blessing from you, for hearing your word, for being uplifted, and all the other things that you have planned for us. Now, Lord, you've heard these requests, the ones that are sick. Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit would go forward and heal them. For your word says, by my stripes you are healed. And Lord, we believe that. We thank you for the others, Lord, that you have healed, the reports and things that we've heard. And Lord, be with those that are traveling home and different things that are going on. Be with your children no matter where they're gathered. Now come this morning, we invite your presence. Come bless us this morning, Lord, with thy Holy Spirit and with thy word. And we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. This morning we're going to have the psalm reading. It'll be the 58th, that's 5-8. 58th Psalm this morning. And it reads like this. So do you indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do you judge uprightly, O you sons of men? The wicked are estranged from the womb, and they go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Which will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. Let them melt away as waters which run continually. When he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrows, let them be as cut in pieces. Before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath.
The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked.
So that a man shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, he is a God that judgeth the earth. God bless you. You can be seated.
I believe at this time, Sister Anna and Sister Leah have a special for us.
the brothers would come at this time. Here.
Well, I feel a change in my life. I feel the Spirit moving deep down inside. I serve a God who is very much alive. I feel a change in my life. I feel a change. Church for a very long time, but every chance I got, I was always trying to get by. Then one day, Jesus came into my life. Ever since that day, my soul's been satisfied. I feel a change in my life. I feel the Spirit moving deep. I serve a God who is very much alive. I feel a change in my life. I feel a change in my life. I feel the Spirit moving deep down inside. I serve a God who is very much alive. I feel a change in my life. I belong to a church for a very long time, but every chance I got, I was always trying to get by. Then one day Jesus came into my life. Ever since that day, my soul's been satisfied. I feel a change in my life. I feel the Spirit moving deep down inside. I serve a God who is very much alive. I feel a change in my life. Once more. I feel a change in my life. I feel the Spirit moving deep down inside. I serve a God, He is very much alive. I feel a change in my life.
Amen. This is 229 in your hymn book if you don't know it.
Well, there are some things. Well, I may not know. Well, there are some places I can't go, but I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel Him deep within. Take God's part. just how you fed when Jesus my soul.
aren't you glad to serve a God like that? Not a God of the past and history, not a God we have to wait for way off in the future, but a present tense God, a living God. Amen. Let's just bow our heads this morning and talk to Him. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach Your throne again this morning, feeling Your presence already here in our midst, Lord, how we thank You. For without You, Lord, all of our efforts would be in vain. But Lord, when You can come into a service and begin to move among Your people, begin to speak to hearts and encourage hearts, oh Lord, anything is possible. Lord, we come with expectations this morning, not because any of the brothers or sisters that are present, we don't come in expectations of them, Father, but we come in expectations because that You're here, Father. And Lord, we recognize, as the song just sang, that You are very real, Father. And Lord, that You're the very essence of life and of love and Lord, of peace and joy. And oh, we're so thankful to be identified with You, Father. We're so thankful that You would humble Yourself to even be identified with us, Lord. Lord, we love You this morning. We just ask You to take complete control of the service. Lord, may something be said that would help and encourage others along their way. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to St. Matthew's Gospel just a moment. And want to look at the 7th chapter. Hope the new year is treating you well so far. And I know there's several people saying they were going to be glad when 2016 is over, but I don't think 2017 is going to be battle-free. We weren't invited to a picnic, so we were invited to a battle. Already seeing some battles begin to rage this year already, but God's in control. God is in control, so I don't have to. Why should I worry? Why should I be afraid? I know He watches over the sparrow, and so He certainly watches over me and you and each and every one of us. So I'm going to trust Him just as much and more this year as I did last year by His grace. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Amen. You can be seated this morning. I had had this thought on my heart, and my plan was to preach it Sunday morning, but the Lord had different plans. But I've been looking at this thought this week and just thought it would be a good time for us to look at this on crossroads. And Jesus speaking here, He tells us that straight is the gate, and that wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, but narrow is the way, and straight is the gate that leadeth unto life. And we find many times, you know, we find ourselves at crossroads. And I believe it was David that picked it up, or Solomon there, rather, in the Proverbs, and said, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Brother Branham, I'm reminded of, he tells a story of a man that had been out in the desert for some time, him and his horse, and they had begun to be very thirsty. They were out of water, and they reached a crossroads. And at this crossroads, there was one way that you could tell all kinds of animals had been going down it, and wagons and people and everything else. It looked like everybody had been going down that route. So he began to try to pull the horse that way. And said, oh, surely there's water down that way, because that's the way everybody's been going. And there was this little bitty just deer path that looked like it wasn't hardly nothing that went in front of him. And the horse kept trying to take him down that way. And he kept trying to pull the horse. And Brother Branham, as he tells the story of the missionary there that he's referring to, he said he began to spur the horse and everything to try to urge it on this way. And finally, the horse was just bleeding and frothing at the mouth. And he finally said, you know what? God gave an animal an instinct, and I'm just going to trust your instinct that you can go and find us this water. And they went down this little bitty narrow path that looked like nobody had hardly went down it, but they hadn't gone but a few hundred yards, and they plunged into a great body of water and was drinking there. And Brother Bram said, not to type the Holy Spirit to a horse, but he said he has the instinct and the unction that we need. And many times we think, oh, Lord, you know, everybody else, they're going this way. Oh, my, this brother believes it this way, and sister so-and-so's doing it, so it must be okay. And all these people over here, they're doing this and that and the other, and so it must be all right. But many times it's that narrow path that's the harder, the less traveled route that is what God's wanting us to do. Brother Branham, when he was there, I believe in California, the gentleman came down there and began to speak in tongues and interpret. And the interpretation was that because Brother Branham had chosen the harder path, he didn't choose the way that was easy and just roll along with the denominations and the money and the popularity and all those different things. But because he had chose the harder place, the harder way, there awaited him a great portion of heaven. And many times it's easy, you know, if you're floating down the river, it's easy to just go with the stream. But when you're battling up tide against the stream, it's a little harder route. But it's easy, you know, all the trash just floats right along with the stream. But I believe the bride of Jesus Christ, she's not just going to float along with this doctrine and that doctrine and this man-made idea and that man-made idea, but she's going to stay straight with the narrow path. Brother Branham said it's a one-way street, and a gentleman commented. He said, my goodness, Brother Branham doesn't even know how to drive. He said, you drive down the middle of the road, and he said, you'll get in a wreck. Brother Branham said, you fail to understand, this is a one-way road. Amen. I'm not planning on turning and going back. There's all kinds of signs that says, do not enter, wrong way. But yet many still turn around and go down that path. But it's a one-way street. And so I'm thankful this morning by the grace of God that we're headed in the right direction. It wasn't our great knowledge or our wisdom that headed us in the right direction, but it was the grace of God that planted us on the right road in the right direction. Joshua, in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, the children of Israel had come to a crossroads, and it was a time to where a decision had to be made. Many times we see it in the scriptures, in the message, in our own personal lives and those around us, that we reach a crossroads where a decision has to be made. Many times that's not easy. Many times, you know, I've seen some of the families that are here and some of the families that aren't here yet. Many times it's because they're at a crossroad and there's one spouse that wants to go this direction and there's another spouse that wants to go another direction. Uh-oh. Oh, my. Getting in trouble already this morning, Brother Hoover. And they're at a crossroads. And it's a time of decision. It's hard to make that decision when one part of the team is pulling this way and one part of the team is pulling that way. But if you can both begin to find the mind of Christ, then I believe you'll both be pulling in the right direction, whatever it is, whether it's what church to go to or what job you should choose or how to school your children, how to educate them, what school to send them to, what decisions to make in your life. If you follow the Holy Spirit and you can both, whether it's a husband and wife or a family or an individual, whatever it would be, if you can get that in that channel of the Holy Spirit, then I believe you'll be both headed in the right direction, wherever and whatever that might be. But many times we get this in the way. I want, and I think, and I wish, and all of these different things. And that's when we get in trouble, is when we get this guy in the way. And so many times it's the yielding to the Holy Spirit that's the hard part. And I want to remind you that the Holy Spirit will never do anything or say anything contrary to what has already been written. It may look good. It may sound good. Somebody may be able to try to show you loopholes and all kinds of different things. But if it's contrary to the Word of God, then it cannot be the leading of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will never lead you to do something contrary to His Word. Can you imagine being the type of parent that you would tell your son, now you go down there by the railroad tracks and I'm going to give you a spanking, you're going to get in trouble for it, and then send him down the next day to the railroad tracks, say, I want you to go down to the railroad tracks. Now he's confused. He doesn't know what to do. Well, you told me if I went down there, I was going to get a spanking, but now you're telling me to go do it. But many times that's what people think about God. They try to find a loophole to make God say something that He's already told them they shouldn't do, but they keep trying and trying and trying. But Joshua and the children of Israel had come to this type of a crossroad. And Joshua stands up before the congregation. He said, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now we find many times people sit at a crossroad for a very long time. And that's usually what gets them in trouble, is waiting there. And they just don't move any direction. They're scared. They're afraid they're going to be deceived, or they're afraid they'll make the wrong choice. And so they sit there at the crossroads and they don't move anywhere. You're never going to get anywhere like that. But it is good when you get to the crossroads to at least pause long enough to make sure you're going in the right direction. But you can't sit at a crossroad forever. That Brother Branham, I believe it was a minister, brother, maybe Brother Morse or somebody that was telling a story recently, said there was a graveyard there, and the devil, he was choosing a group of people, and there was God was choosing another group, and God said, I'll take this one. The devil said, I'll take that one. And there was some that was sitting on the fence, and they hadn't decided which one was going to go. And the devil said, that's okay, I own the fence. So many people sit on the fence so long and don't make a decision at the crossroad. The devil says, that's okay, I'll just go ahead and take them anyhow. Oh, my. Brother Bam says it this way in the Patriarch Abraham, 1964. He said, Satan might give you a disease. He might give you one thing another. He said, how you know it's not God got you on the crossroads to see what kind of decision that you're going to make, that you'll make. Many times God places us in these crossroads. And Brother Bram taught us that God doesn't bring sickness upon us. It's the devil that does that. But many times God will allow him to do those things like he did in the case of Job or different ones, allowing trials or sickness or even brokenhearted things to place you at a crossroads. And he wants to see Job. God already knew that Job loved him. God already knew what Job's decision would be. He could look down through eternity. He could see Job's heart and see what the desire of his heart was, and that even through trials, he was going to still stand firm for what he believed. But he allowed Satan to do this so that Job could know what Job really felt about it. And many times God places us at a crossroads, and he allows a little bit of sickness to come in, or he allows a little bit of financial trouble, or a little bit of persecution, or a little bit of contention in the family, or even Brother Branham said God allows tension to come right into the church, and he allows these things to see what we're going to do about it, to see how that our response and our reaction is going to be. And he places us at these crossroads, and we can make a decision which way we're going to go. We're placed on the earth on free moral agency. Now, I don't believe by the scriptures and by the message that you can change your election or your predestination by your decisions or by your choosing of these crossroads. But what you can do is you can make it really hard on yourself, or you can make it really easy on yourself, depending on your choices. I believe that God looked down through time, and those that he's called will be there. If he placed you in, there's nobody, I don't care what they say or what they do. They say, you're not part of our group, we'll take you out. Well, they didn't put you in to begin with, so they can't take you out. Amen. But what your choices can do at these crossroads many times, Brother Billy Paul said that Brother Branham stood one time and he held his arms out in the shape of a cross, and he said, you're headed down this path right here. And he said, however far you go down this road, he was at a crossroads. And he said, however far you go down this road, you're going to have to come all the way back before you can go down this road. And many times we get way out here, and then Satan begins to tell us, oh, see, you're not worthy. You'll never make it. You've made too many bad decisions. You've made too many mistakes, too many faults. If you was really predestinated, you would have never gone down this road in the first place. I'm sure he said things like that to the Apostle Paul, who stood there and held the coats of the men as they picked up rocks and began to stone Stephen, and as they begin to imprison the different family members of the message believers of that day. I'm sure when God began to get a hold of him and extend a little bit of grace to him, I'm sure that the devil got in an old Paul's ear and began to whisper, but if you was seed, you wouldn't have ever gone down that path, Paul. Oh, if you was predestinated, God would have never let you to go down that path. No, that's not scriptural, and that's not anywhere in the message that God won't allow you to stray a little bit, even if you're seed, because God places us here on the basis of free moral agency. He didn't put Adam down here and say, now you're my son, I created you, I'm not going to allow any way, I'm going to put a hedge around you to where you can never make a mistake, you can never sin, you can never fall, you can never do anything wrong. But he placed Adam down here on the basis of free moral agency, and even though I believe Adam was a predestinated seed because he was created in the very image of God, yet he could fall and he could make mistakes and he could fall into sins that would cause him to lose his physical life, but that didn't have anything to do with his eternal destination. Yet it made his life down here on earth a lot more difficult than it could have been if he would have just stayed in the right channel with God. But when he was placed at these crossroads, his decisions, Paul says, by one man's sin, death entered into the world. And here he is at these crossroads. crossroads, and we want to throw it all off on Adam and Eve many times off, but it hadn't been for them and their decisions. But God places you at the very same kind of crossroads over and over and over in your life, and many times we choose the wrong path, and he doesn't send you to hell for it, but you'll have to pay for some of your mistakes and come all the way back that road with your tail tucked between your legs like the prodigal son, saying, "Ouch, oh me, oh my, this is so difficult and so hard for me to humble my pride to admit that I was wrong." But he does allow those prodigal sons to come back. I'm thankful for that. The children of Israel was at a crossroads another time in the book of Kings. We just looked at it a few weeks ago. And Elijah stood up before the people and he said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Now he places this crossroads in the laps of the people. And he says, we're at a crossroads. If God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. But he did more than just get up and preach a good intellectual sermon. Signs and wonders begin to follow his ministry, and the people begin to recognize that God was with this man. And here the prophets of Baal were over there. Oh my, they were just as excited. They could maybe jump just as high or higher. They could yell just as loud or louder. They could, they cut themselves and they danced around. They had all kinds of outward emotions, just like Elisha or Elijah could have displayed. Maybe he wept and maybe he jumped and maybe he ran. I don't know what he did, but they could mimic all of that. But when it came to the fire falling, there was something about it, they couldn't imitate that. Amen. And so they were halted between these two opinions. He said, how long halt you between two opinions? If God be God, let's serve him. If not, let's go serve Baal. And he places this crossroad in their lap. Now, Brother Branham, in Spiritual Amnesia 1964, he explains to us, he says, getting between two opinions, that'll cause amnesia, and it gets you to a place where you actually, what you've done, you've lost your reason, you've lost your mind. Now, people can get in such a mental state and get locked in between these two opinions, whether it be something in the natural, a decision, or something in the spiritual, or whatever it would be, and it begins to cause so much trauma to them that it begins to cause amnesia. If it can do that in the natural realm, then I believe many of these that have halted so long in between a spiritual decision, what church are we going to go to? Is the message right or is it wrong? And is this brother right or is he wrong? Is this doctrine right or is it wrong? And they halt between these opinions too long and they won't make a choice. Somebody say, well, what do you believe on that? I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to think. And they halt there and they halt there and they halt there. And that's good. As I said, Jesus, when he's speaking to the people, we'll read the scripture maybe a little later, but he talks about counting the cost. And it's good as you're going into a crossroads. Now, I don't know about some of you drivers how that you drive, but when you're coming into a crossroads, it's good to check and make sure there's a green light, first of all. And then it's good to check and make sure a little bit to the left and right to make sure that everybody else coming these other directions are obeying those stoplights and not just going right through them. When I had to take driving school one time, oh yes, Brother Nathan's not an angel. Sorry if that shocked some of you this morning, but I had to go to driving school one time for about a speeding ticket years ago when I was still living with my parents, and there was a course that they took. You know, I was a homeschooler, and they told me there was something you could take where you just watched a video at home. I said, that sounds right up my alley. So I went and watched this video at home of this driving instructor talking, and he said there was a man that was from Louisiana, and he said that, you know, when he was driving along there, and he would get to a stoplight, and he would just floor it and just go right through those stoplights. And this guy told me, he said, man, he said, why do you drive like that? He said, well, my Uncle Boudreaux taught me how to drive, and that's how he drives. He just goes right through them. And he said, oh my, he said, aren't you afraid you're going to get wrecked? He said, no, this is how I drive. And they was going out there, and he was just going through red light after red light, and all of a sudden they got to a green light, and he just locked it up and just slammed on the brakes, slid all over the place and stopped. And the man said, what on earth are you doing? That one was green. He said, yeah, but that's my Uncle Boudreaux coming. He was at a crossroads. Many times people get in a crossroads. It's good to have some caution going through these crossroads and find the mind of Christ, but God doesn't call us just to sit at a crossroad and never make a decision. Remember that the lepers there in the time of famine, we'll begin to look at it maybe in a couple of Wednesday nights here during the time of Elisha. They sat there and they realized that if they didn't get food somewhere, they were going to die. And if they went into the city, there was no food there. And if they went out into the camp of the Syrians, they might kill them if they went there. But they said, look, we're not going to sit here at this crossroads and die. We're going to do something about it. So I don't want to just sit at the crossroads forever and think, well, I'm just not sure about this or I'm not sure about that. But the Bible teaches us not to be tossed about by every wind of doctrine, but to be of a sound mind and a sound heart and a sound body to where we can make a decision on these things. And Brother Branham teaching here, he said, getting in between these two opinions and not making a choice, it'll cause amnesia. I believe there's many people around the message today that they've sat and they've wondered and they've looked and they've hoed and they've hummed too long, and now they've got a little bit of a spiritual amnesia that they don't know what to think, but I've got a little grace in my heart because I remember the story he tells a little further when he said that man began to get off the train there that had been shell-shocked in the military, and he had been under such pressure in the war that he had begun to get amnesia from the stress of his age and the pressures that was put on him. And as he gets off the train, he begins to stand there at the station as they was getting ready to get some food and things, and he began to look at a water tower, and he began to look around at some of the places, and he started walking up a hill, and one of his sergeants said, you know, I'm just going to follow him and see what he does. And as he began to go a little further, he said, you know, there's something familiar about this. And he got a little further, and there was an old man sitting up on a cabin porch there, and he came running down the hill with tears in his eyes. He said, oh, my son, they told me you were dead. He said, but I knew you'd return someday. And it came back to him. He remembered where he had come from. Oh, I pray today that some of these that have entered into spiritual amnesia and they don't know what to think and what to do and they don't know what's right and what's wrong, I pray that they'll begin to look around into the pages of God's Word and they'll begin to recognize, you know, there's something about it that speaks to my heart. There's something about it familiar that's speaking to me from eternity. I'm beginning to remember where I came from. Oh, God help us. Brother Ram said in Zacchaeus in 1958, he's talking as we looked at this story of Zacchaeus a while back, how that he had climbed up into the sycamore tree. And he said, so he goes just a little bit higher in the tree and he finds where two limb meets. He said, that makes a good place to sit down. That's a good place for us all to sit down where two ways meet, yours and God's. There's where the decision has to be made, he says. These two limbs that Zacchaeus is sitting in and these two ways meet, God's way and his way. Many of us sit there in many of our decisions. It may not be some great, huge spiritual decision. It may be something simple, but yet we feel the Holy Spirit leading us one direction. We think, oh Lord, that's going to be difficult. My family's not going to understand. This brother's going to say this, and that one's going to say that. And my friends aren't going to agree with me. And so we just begin to lean a little bit to our way. And maybe we don't just blatantly disobey the Word of God, but we just begin to lean a little bit that direction towards that limb where these two ways are meeting, your ways and God's ways. But David tells us in the Psalms, he said, lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge the Lord in all his ways, trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So I don't want to lean over here on Nathan Bryant's way. I want to go over on God's way. These two ways meet us many times. Sometimes it's in a decision. Sometimes it's in a conversation with a brother. And maybe something come to your mind. You think, oh my, I could just line him up one side and down the other. And the Holy Spirit speak to your heart and say, now, is that really my spirit? Or is that just you getting a little wound up in the flesh? And you've got these two different ways you can go. Brother Bram said he was standing there and that man was saying all those different kinds of things. He said, oh, I could have tied him in so many knots. He said, I'm sorry. He said, that doesn't sound good for a minister to say. He said, I believe the Holy Spirit could have showed him some things. Oh, help us to be more like that example. Amen. Amen. To where many times we're sitting in a crossroads and we can see our way. Many times people think it's just our way or the highway, but it's not your way or the highway. It's your way or God's way many times. Amen. Many times in our stubbornness, we keep going down this path and then we recognize, you know, about 5 years later and we've got to come all the way back and make all these things right and come all this way back around and God's just standing there waiting. We could have already been 5 years down the road this way, but you had to go that direction, taking the wrong turn at the crossroads. There's a story by a man named Samuel Hubbard Scudder that he tells about his professor at a renowned school here in the U.S. He was a noted zoologist, Jean-Louis Agassiz. And when Samuel Scudder began to take his classes, this great famous zoologist, he comes in and he just the very first day that he's there to meet this professor, the professor comes in and he lays this fish down on the man's desk there. And he just tells him, he said, look at your fish. And he just walks out of the room and leaves him. And he sits there for hours, and he begins to look at it. In about 10 minutes, he thinks he has seen everything that he can see about this fish. And he begins to pick it up, and he looks at it. He looks at it from the from just directly on, right in the mouth. And he turns it to the side, and it just begins to look loathsome to him. And turns it on the other side, looks at it from the back, looks at it from the bottom, looks at it from the top. And he sits there, and he doesn't see anything spectacular about this fish. And he thinks in 10 minutes he's seen everything that can be seen about this fish. And so he waits and he waits, and the professor still doesn't come back. So he begins to count the scales on the fish. And then he begins to stick his finger down the fish's mouth and to count its teeth. And he begins to look at the lidless eyes. And he begins to look at the fin. And he begins to get a pencil and begins to sketch the fish. And about that time, about 3 hours later, the professor comes in and he says, "Well, what?" He said, "Oh, that's great." He said, "Sometimes a pencil is the best eye to, when you go to draw it out, to see things that you had never caught before." And he said, "What do you see?" And he begins to explain to him all he sees about the scales and the eyeballs and how many teeth it had and the patterns of the scales and the colorization of the skin, the type of fin that it had. And he begins to go through and describe all this great things that he's looked at in this fish for 3 hours. And the professor said, he waited for him to say something else. He said, "That's good, but," he said, "you've missed some of the greatest things about it. I'm sure it's just staring you right in front of the face as much as the fish is." And so he goes back out and waits a few more hours, and he comes back in. The gentleman tells him a few more things. And he said, "Do you see it yet?" He said, "No," but he said, "I'm certain I don't, but I see how little that I saw before." And he said, "Well, that's the next best thing." And so he comes back at the end of the day, and he said, "You come back in the morning and we'll start this over again, and you just go home and sleep on it. Maybe you'll have some more things." And he comes back the next day, and he said, "Well, is it that the fish is symmetrical and has paired organs?" He said, "Oh, that's wonderful. That's a wonderful thing." And he said, "That's one of the great points that I wanted you to see." And he said, "So what do I do now?" He said, "Look at your fish." And he did this for 3 days. No matter what the man would come up with, all these different things, he would tell him, "Look at your fish. Look at your fish." And finally, at the end of the process, he said it was the best lesson that he had ever learned. And there was no way that monetary value could be added to it, because he used it in every subsequent study after that. And I believe when we go to look at God's word, many times we read, "Jesus wept," and "the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We just read it on through. And, you know, what did you read? I can't remember. It was some psalm, I think. I don't remember what it was or what it said. But we need to stop sometimes and look at your fish. And when you begin to read the scripture, don't just read it on by and say, "Well, yeah, that was a good scripture, I guess. Oh my, that was wonderful what Jesus said." But when we begin to read it, we should look at it and look at it from a perspective of what is this saying? What, why did he say this? What was the purpose in him saying that? What is it saying not only to them in some other day gone by, but what is he trying to express to me? Why is this in the Word of God? What is the context that it would be? You say, "Oh my, I'm not going to get through very many chapters like that." No, but you might understand a little bit more about God's word and what he's trying to express to you. I'd rather read 5 verses and understand what I had read than read 50 chapters and not remember anything that was said. So many times when it comes to scriptural things, or even financial problems, or marital problems, or when it comes to decisions in life and things, don't just pass it on by quickly and just blow through the stoplight like the man did. But when we come to these crossroads, we should stop and we should look and we should consider the cost. But don't just sit there forever and make a decision. Eventually, you've got to look into these things and decide, what is it that I believe and what is it that I stand for? Brother H. Richard Hall, a man that my parents used to go to his meetings before they came into the message, he used to say, "If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything." We've got a lot of people around the message, they fall for anything because they won't take a stand for anything. Luke chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" I believe it was St. Paul said it this way. He said, "You did run well. What hindered you?" They came to a crossroad, and because of persecution, because somebody made fun of their long hair, because somebody said, "Oh, you know, I hear you guys are in a cult, or you're following a man," or all these different reproaches and persecutions, they got to a crossroad and they thought, "You know what? This is too hard. This is too hard. I can't go on any further." Jesus said, whosoever can't take up his cross and follow me isn't worthy of it. Brother Bam picks it up this way in Shalom in 1964. He said, "Oh, he may permit crossroads. He may permit crossroads to try us, to perfect us for his service. He may permit that now, church, both here and on tape. He may permit the crossroads for our service. You mean God would allow you to get to a time where you would have to make a decision and it be something that was difficult for you and something that was maybe even a trial and placed you in this situation? God would allow that and even purpose that? Absolutely, because God wants us to be able to recognize and sit down and count the cost. He doesn't want us to come to him haphazardly and say, well, Lord, if you'll do this, I'll serve you, and if you'll do that, I'll serve you. I want to get to the spot, Brother Hoover, to where if God doesn't ever do one more thing for me, I'd still serve. Serving. And people can say, my Brother Nathan, God hasn't done very much for you lately, but he's done so much for me, more than I deserve already. He's done so much for us. Hey, we deserved hell. We deserved the cross. We deserved the crown of thorns that he had. We deserved to be beaten and broken and sent to a fiery hell for our sins. He didn't deserve it. So if he didn't ever do anything for me, if he never healed me when I was sick, if he never encouraged me when I was down, if he never gave me victory, if he never gave me peace, if he never gave me joy, he's already done more than I deserve. But I'm so thankful that serving him comes along with some benefits that are so much greater than even just that, that once we receive eternal life, it doesn't just stop there. But then he gives us joy when we're brokenhearted. He gives us peace when we're mourning. He gives us faith when we're weak. He gives us strength when it feels like we can't go on any further. He helps us when we don't have the money or the needs or the means to help ourselves. He comes along and helps us along when it seems like there is no way. He heals us when we're sick. He does all these different things, but I don't serve God conditionally. Well, Lord, if you'll fulfill addendum A, B, C, D, E, and F, then I'll serve you. But if I ever feel like you're slacking in any of those areas, then I just don't know if I can serve you. You don't really love God. You don't really love God. You're just using God to try to get out of hell or try to get out of sickness or something. Shalom 1964 in Sierra Vista again. He says, he may permit cross words. Let them laugh at you for having long hair. Let them laugh at you for saying, why, you become a holy roller or whatever more. They may let you laugh. They may laugh at you for that. That's all right. That's a crossroad. That's a little junction. That's to prove something. See, the only thing that the crossroad did to the Hebrew children that stood on the word, it only loosed them from the bands they had around their feet and legs. And sometimes it takes hard trials to break the bands of the world off of us. Now, here stood the Hebrew children, the greatest crossroad they had ever seen in their life. Here they had been taken into bondage out of their homeland and placed into this country. They had a prophet that was with them by the name of Daniel. And here they're placed into this situation and all the rest of the nation standing around. And the king gets up and he says, if anybody won't bow to this image, which Brother Brandon taught us in questions and answers, was an image to Daniel. And he said that the Gentile age was entered in with the worship of a man and that it would go out with the worship of a man. And he said, oh my, they won't stand here and worship this image, then we've got a fiery furnace that we're going to cast you in. And he gives this ultimatum or this crossroad to the Hebrew children, and they stand there and they didn't know that God would deliver them. God didn't give them a vision by night and say, look boys, don't worry about it all, this is taken care of, you just go right ahead, don't even think about it, don't even worry about it. Their testimony was they stood up, and can you imagine you going out in Louisville, Kentucky, and everybody in the whole city getting around and gathering around this big image, and everybody, the king or the mayor, the governor, whoever, would get up and say, at the sound of this trumpet, everybody who doesn't bow to this image is going to be thrown in a fiery furnace. And everybody bows down, and you look around, and you and two other brothers from the church are standing there, and everybody else in the whole city bows down and worshiping. Seems like the odds were a little bit against them. Seems like they were a little bit in the minority, but Brother Branham taught us that even one in God's sight is the majority, if God's with them. You say, oh, what about this brother, and what about this, and what about that, and what about these people, what about the government, what about political pressure, and what about all these things changing in government and changing in laws? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, I can't take on the weakest, puniest demon out of hell on my own, but me and God, I don't care how many demons they send, me and God together, we can whoop them. Amen. As long as I'm standing with him, you just put me with him, I don't have to worry very much. It's like, you know, I don't know if any of you ever had a friend that was a real good fighter, or somebody, maybe one of your buddies looked in and looked like a bar bouncer, and you could stand there and talk smack to all the other guys in school because you knew this guy was backing you up. Well, that times about 300 billion is how I feel about God. I would be scared to death to say some of the things I've challenged the devil on and said over this pulpit if it was just me. But me and God, we've got this. Amen. You and God, you've got whatever you're going through. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fear. You on your own, you'd fall on your face in the first 13 seconds. But you and God, you'll be able to make it through. And so the Hebrew children stood there. They said, sir, they said, we don't know whether God will deliver us or not. But we know that he's more than able to. I don't know. I'm not a prophet this morning. I can't tell some of you what is going to happen exactly in your situations and your circumstances. I can't look down into the future and say, well, it's going to be this way and it's going to be that way. But I can tell you this morning. He is more than able. Whatever situation. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, it's so dark and it's so terrible and I don't see any hope. I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. He is more than able. More than able to take you through. And they begin to walk up there, and these men even that were ushering them in to this fiery furnace, that the king got so mad he said, let's heat it 7 times hotter than it's ever been. And as they're ushering them in, the men that are even leading them up there begin to pass out and die left and right around them, and they just kept walking. You know, we've seen that a lot. A lot of the shuck has begun to fall to the left and fall to the right, but the bride of Jesus Christ is just keeping walking right. It doesn't matter how bad the heat gets or how bad the persecution gets or how bad the trials gets, the bride of Jesus Christ only knows one direction. And they were at this crossroad, and they could have got there and begin to feel a little bit of the heat and said, oh, we take it back, king. We'll bow down right now. And the king would have said, that's all I wanted to hear you say. You walk right. You don't have to go in that fiery furnace. But they kept walking one step closer and one step closer, and they began to feel a little bit of that heat. Shadrach looked over at Meshach. He said, you sure you prayed through? He said, oh, yes, sir, I'm sure. And they began to get a little bit closer, and the ropes on their wrists began to pop and crack. And he said, well, did you look at that? I believe these ropes are getting a little bit looser. There's something about it. The closer you get to Jesus, those chains that you were bound to, maybe it was a chain of a cigarette or a chain of alcohol or a chain of drugs or a chain of a lust spirit or a temper or a stubborn spirit or whatever it would be, there's something about it. The closer you get to him, those chains and those ropes begin to pop and crack and begin to fall to the left and fall to the right. And King Nebuchadnezzar looked, he said, you know what, I thought we sent 3 men in there, but I see a fourth man. He looks like the Son of God. There was a fourth one that was walking with them through the flames and through the trials and through the persecution. They didn't care how much they got made fun of or what was said about them. They knew who they were walking with. As they begin to get a little closer to this great crossroad, maybe they could look at one another. This is our last chance. We're at this crossroad. We can either give up on God and bow down to this man-made idol of man's ideas, or we can stay with the word. And old Shadrach said, let's just keep walking. Oh, he's taking care of us this far. Let's just keep walking a little further. And Meshach said, oh, amen, brother. When you said that, that just spoke to my heart. I believe that's God trying to encourage us. And they looked in there. They said, who is that that's waiting for us in there on the other side of the trial? Who is that that's waiting for us in there helping us through the fire? And they looked and they saw this man standing there, looked like the Son of God. And when they got in there, it didn't burn their hair. That was a scientific miracle right there for it, especially some of you sisters. As much hairspray as you've got, you would even got close and it would just went up. Didn't singe their hair. Some of you got relatives. You even get near their car or near their house. You come home smelling like smoke. They didn't smell like smoke. Didn't singe their clothes. Not the smell of smoke on them. They walked right through the middle of the trial, and all these other things of the world just began to fall right off of them. Brother Branham said, sometimes God lets us have a little trial, you know, to see what we'll do, to take you out of the world. Or other words, let you have a little trial and knock you out of the organization, that idea that the Methodist is the only one, the Baptist or the Pentecostal, or that's the only group they got. If you don't believe it like my church believes it, you don't believe it all. Sometimes he lets a little trial happen. Maybe you got a sick baby. Maybe something takes place right at the hour of death. Maybe someone taken from you or something. What is it to do? To break you away. Way to show you something, to open your eyes. I don't know about you, many times on the highway, you know, we're not paying a whole lot of attention, especially out on the open road. I don't want Brother Daniel to get up and testify about my driving, but when you're out there on the open road and there's no cars around you, no stop lights, no stop signs or anything, you can kind of just take it easy and just kind of go and not, you don't have to have your 100% devoted attention. There's not a car as long as you can see in front of you or behind you, and you're just kind of going along there, taking it easy. But then you begin to come up on some traffic that's stop and go, or you begin to get up to a stop sign or a stop light, or you see a police car begin to come up around you, or an ambulance or a fire engine or something like that, and you begin to pay a little bit more attention. You begin to hold that wheel a little tighter. You begin to check your mirrors a little bit more frequently and things. Why? Because you're entering into a crossroads, and it's not just you out here free and happy-go-lucky on the highway of life by yourself anymore, but now you've come into some circumstances and you've come into some situations, and some decisions have to be made. Am I going to stop? Am I going to merge? Am I going to turn on my signal? Am I going to turn on my flashers and wait here? What am I going to do? You've got to make some decisions now, and it becomes a little bit more difficult. You get out in a big open field, and a 7-year-old kid can drive around out in that, you know, just open, nothing to run into, no problems. But you get down into one of these big cities where it's bumper-to-bumper traffic and one-way streets and four-lane highways and stoplights and yield signs and roundabouts and everything else. It takes a little bit more of an experienced driver to take the wheel and say, I've got to navigate through this crossroad and make these decisions here. And many times God allows us to get into these situations because we've just been kind of going along on cruise control with our thumb on the wheel, just driving along carefree for so long that God says, you know what? It's time for you to make some decisions. It's time that the pressure is going to get a little bit more. It's time that, you know, you may not just be able to depend on your seventh grader's driving ability, but you've got to focus here a little bit and see what my word says. See what you should do. See what decisions you should make. And oh, by the way, maybe you should just let me take the wheel for a while. What's it to do? To break you away, to show you something, open your eyes. Maybe you come to criticize sometime. Maybe you're listening to this tape just to criticize. Maybe God's doing that to break some of the worldly bands that you've got bound down. Can you imagine being somebody that picked up this tape and puts it on there? I'm going to find fault with this. And the prophet of God says, maybe you're listening to this tape just to criticize. But maybe God's allowed that so he can break some of your bands. That's got you bound down. Like a drowning man in a river, you have to take the man out of the river before you can get the river out of the man. That's right. You've got to get him out of the river first, then you get the river out of him. Sometimes God has to do it that way. He permits the junctions, crossroads to do that. Stand on his promises, the word, for they never fail. The future, that's in his hands. Stand like they did. Don't give away. Don't give away. There's a drowning man out here and he's swallowed about half the river and he's drowning. You got to get him out of the river before you can get the river out of the man. Many times we find somebody on the street and we want to jump down their throat with both feet and both message barrels cocked and loaded and give them a double barrel blast of this or that or the other and try to push it down their throat. But you got to get what they already got to push down their throat out first before you can get something new put in there. You got to get all the water out of their lungs before you can get some air put in there. And many times we try to get the water out of the man before we get the man out of the river. But Brother Bram said, you know, you gotta get the water out of the man before you can get the river out of the man before you can get the man out of the river before you can get the river out of the man. Many times we do it the opposite way. And many times even in our trials, we try to jump over the trial or go out around the trial, or we try to say, Lord, I can't handle this right now. I'm under too much stress. I'm under too much pressure. I'm just going to ignore this and not deal with it. You better be careful sitting at that crossroads too long. He says again in Shalom in 1964 in Phoenix, he says, and when somebody begins to make fun of you, say, she's old fashioned, look at him. He's, oh, I tell you, he used to be. All right, just remember, it's growing pains. That's that persecution is good for you. It's growing pains. Oh, yes, he permits crosses and crossroads and junctions. He always does that in order to perfect us for his service. He permits those things. As we looked at, I believe it was last Sunday, about Mary, when she first began to testify to her cousin and just a handful of people that could accept the spiritual, she didn't receive much persecution. And she could still go down to the supermarket or she could still go down to the well, and it didn't cause her much persecution. But once the word began to be formed in her in such a way to where others could see, then the persecution began to come. And Brother Bram said, that persecution, it's okay. It's good for you. It's growing pains. Growing pains of his grace. Many times some of you sisters, you go down through your Walmart or wherever it would be, or some of you brothers at your jobs and things, you begin to receive a little bit of persecution because of your stand for the word. It's okay. That's growing pains. That's to be expected. Sometimes he allows those things to just make sure that we're walking in his service and that we're not just along. Brother Bam said that, you know, there's some people that are Bible hitchhikers, that they'll ride along just as long as everything's going good. And then when something doesn't rub them the right way, they'll get off and walk for a while. And then they'll get on and ride again somewhere where the word rubs their doctrine the right way. But I don't want to be a Bible hitchhiker. I want to stay with him the whole way. David said in the Psalms, he said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Brother Nathan, how are we going to, well, we've got decisions to be made. We've got, maybe it's a financial decision. Maybe it's a decision about your marriage or about some friendship or relationship. Maybe it's a decision maybe it's a medical decision or whatever it would be. Brother Nathan, how are we going to make these decisions? His word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Amen. He's left us a blueprint. He's left us a roadmap that we can go back and we can look and we can pray and we can seek God for our part. Lord, I don't want to do anything contrary to the word. I want to make sure that my life is lining up with your word. I want to make sure there's nothing that would be contrary to it. And he'll begin to shine the light in front of your feet a little bit. He'll give you enough word to get you through that day. And he'll give you enough encouragement to get you through the next day. And he'll shine a little strength or a little peace or a little joy to get you through the next day. You say, oh, I'm at these terrible crossroads, bro. Brother Nathan, I just don't know what direction to do. You just keep following him one step at a time. Amen. Brother Branham tells the story of the man. He said, Brother Branham, he said, I believe you're a good man and everything. He said, I just think that preachers are barking up the right wrong tree. He said, I think they're talking about something they don't know nothing about. And he said, I can't believe unless I can see something for myself and just see these things. And he said, well, he said, that's all right, I guess. He said, you know, every man's got a right to his opinion. And he said, oh, Brother Branham, he said, I love you. I think you're a great man. He said, why don't you come home with me tonight and spend the night? And he said, oh, I'm staying with this brother over here. He's already got me a hotel room or whatever. But Brother Bram asked him, he said, where do you live? He said, oh, it's up around the mountain. He said, well, how can you get there from here? I can't see it. And he said, well, he said, I've got this lantern. And he said, there's a path. He said, I just hold that lantern. And he said, you just walk just as far as the lantern can show you. He said, that's exactly what I thought. So how could he believe in this man's cabin if he couldn't see it? How could he ever get there if he couldn't see it? Just following the light one step at a time. Amen. I'm so thankful to be walking in the light. I don't know what the end is going to be for some situations and all these different things and circumstances, but I'm following the light one step at a time. Amen. And I believe that he'll carry us the rest of the way. David says this again in Psalm 142, verse 3. He said, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. He knows our path. He's not upset or confused, and he hasn't fallen off the throne in shock of anything that's happened to you. He knows your path. He knows where you're at. He knows if you're on the right road. He knows if you're on the wrong road. He knows which direction you're going. He knows the trial that you're in or the fire that you're facing. He knows all these different things, and he knows right where you're at. And if you're not on the right path, he knows exactly what to do to get you turned around and headed in the right direction. He's got it under control. The Junction of Time, 1956, he says, so my dear little friends, don't you never let down on Christ. He says, you lift up your voice and hold holy hands to God. And if the church, anything starts this way, that way, or people talk and say this, don't pay any attention to it. Keep your heart single on the cross and Christ and live for him. God grant it to you. He said, we're at the junction, the crossroad. Amen. If the musicians would come this morning, I want to read you a poem. I think it's an old hymn, actually, written back in the 1600s by a man named Isaac Watts. It says, am I a soldier of the cross? Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight. If I would reign, increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Thy saints in all this glorious war shall conquer though they die. They see the triumph from afar by faith's discerning eye. When that illustrious day shall rise and all thy armies shine, in robes of victory through the skies, the glory shall be thine. We're at a crossroads this morning. I believe every one of us sitting here, you're at some kind of a crossroad, some type of a decision to make in your life. But you just follow him one step at a time. You don't have to figure it all out. You don't have to know the end from the beginning. You don't have to know all these different things. You just put your trust in him, and you keep following him. You keep seeking the Holy Spirit, and keep in mind that he will never lead you contrary to his word, and you just keep taking one step after another towards him and towards his leading and his guidance. It'll all come out right. Amen. You might be at a crossroad this morning, but I'm so thankful that I've got a guide to follow me through these crossroads. Amen. God bless you this morning. Let's sing this together. Thank you. Brother Furman sang this Wednesday night. I wanted to sing it part of it again, then I'm going to let him finish it. But amen, I thought it was fitting with this sermon of Crossroads. I just came into a valley, one like I've never seen before. I keep searching for a way out. Seems like padlocks are on the door. Oh, there must be another sunrise, another sunset that I see. God will make this trial a blessing. That's the love He has for me. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. Our God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. You see, I was not the first one to come into this place. No, every child of God, these kind of tests we're gonna face. But it is here that God will mold you. He'll make you what you ought to be. God will make this trial a blessing. Just be patient, you will see. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. As they play that again, let's stand together. I wonder how many bow your heads. Maybe slip up your hand and say, Brother Nathan, I'm right in the middle of a trial. I'm right in the middle of a crossroad, and I don't know just what decision to make. I don't know just where to go. I'm seeking God's guidance in my life. I need His help. I need strength. I need to be able to make the right decision. I want to make sure that it's according to the Word and it's according to the Holy Spirit. I've got decisions I'm facing. Amen. I believe God sees each hand. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as so many are facing crossroads and decisions that they have to make, or maybe things that they have to say that, Lord, that is going to be difficult, or things that they're going to have to do that may be misunderstood. Father, may You just be with each one. Lord, grant them the strength that they need for the decisions that they have to make. Lord, may they stay with Your Word. May they stay with the leading of Your Holy Spirit. May it guide them. May it lead them in the right direction. May it show them what path to take for each of these decisions. Just give them wisdom and give them strength. Lord, I know in my own life and in the church and in my family, different things, Lord, decisions that we're facing. God, I ask that You give me strength, that You give me wisdom, that You would lead me and guide me, Father, to make the right decisions. Lord, for each one that's here, Lord, may we just yield, Lord, our desires and our thinking, our thoughts. May we not choose our way, but Lord, as we meet those intersections, may we choose Your way, Father. Oh, Father, may we yield to You. May we humble ourselves to Your Spirit, to Your Word, to Your desire, Father. May it be our desire. May Your thoughts be our thoughts. May they be manifested in us, Lord, to where You could lead us and guide us each step of the way. Thank You, Father, this morning. Be with each one, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief.
God will make this trial a blessing. That's the only we'll see. Now I'm standing on the mountain, looking back I can see. When I was in my lowest valley, His strong hand was leading me. Oh, it's good to see the sunshine and to taste sweet victory. God has made this trial a blessing. the grace he gives to me. To come into this place, every child of God, there's a test we must face. It's here that God will mold you, make you what you ought to be. God will make this trial a blessing. Just be patient, you will see. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in Him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. Amen. Well, I want to live the way shine on me, Lord. Well, I'm living below in this so simple world. Oh, hardly a comfort can afford. Well, I'm striving along to face temptation so.
Sing it as we go.
To the Lord. Well, oh, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? I'm seeking a refuge for my soul. I'm needing a friend to save me in the end. Oh, where could I go? My soul.